Now, Christmas is less than 3 weeks away. Where did the time go? It doesn't leave a lot of time to take in some of the great light displays, outdoor Christmas markets, and other festivities going on around Wisconsin, and there are a lot of them. Our next guest has been to every single one. Okay, maybe not everyone, but he has his finger on the pulse of what's going on in the state tourism world. He's here with some recommendations to help us squeeze every last bit of holiday cheer out of this season. Gary Knowles is a Madison-based travel writer and president of the Midwest Travel Journalists Association. He's the author of the great Wisconsin touring book, 30 Spectacular Auto Tours. Gary, good to have you back.
Hey, it's great to be here. And, you know, you're right. I have been to, well, not all of them, but a lot of them.
A surprising amount.
A surprising amount. And there's more that I need to get to because, you know, it's like there's new stuff developed all the time that if you're in Wisconsin and it's the holidays, you'd be crazy not to go do it. I mean, you know, if you're in Wisconsin and you ever say you're bored, we'll send you to Minnesota. But we love Minnesota. But just want to say, too, that there are great things going on. December 14th, for example, you know, Santa usually comes in on a sleigh, and mm-hmm. He's coming into northern Wisconsin, they say. Going to land, I think, over on Madeline Island at the airport over there and then catch the ferry. He's going by ferry and going to appear in Bayfield.
Wow.
And he's been doing this now. Oh, a lot of years. But the good thing is the kids can kind of get down there to the ferry dock. And Santa, and he, a lot of times he brings Mrs. Claus with him. And they kind of come in by ferry boat. And they go to the ferry port down there. And they usually have a bag of goodies for all the kids. And even if you're an older kid, you can probably get some goodies.
I might sneak up there for that, just for the treats.
December 14th, I would go for sure. It's going to be a lot of fun. And, you know, and Santa likes to treat people well, so you know that if you've got a wish list, take it along with you. And you know, and I heard some wishes here just a minute ago, so you know, maybe we can get some for public radio.
Definitely, that's a great idea. Yeah. Now, that's Santa sightings. There will be a lot of those. How about holiday lights? A lot of places around the state have great light shows going on. Point us towards some of those, Gary.
That, you know, let me point you to one thing right away. So, if you're in an area and you wonder, are there any lights around? Go to travelwisconsin.com, the events page. They have a whole list of all the lights in the state. So, you know, if you don't want to travel a long distance, there's no doubt some great lights near you. But, you know, a couple of them that I think we need to mention, if you go to Janesville, they have the gardens down there that are going to be lit up.
And the Rotary Gardens.
The Rotary Gardens.
So I've been there. I got to say, I've been there when they were setting these things up. And this is a, like, weeks-long process of stringing the lights through there. This is a big deal.
This is a real big deal. And as a matter of fact, it's such a big deal that this year they've even got free shuttle service so that you don't have to try to find a parking space and then go find the lights. And so if you want, the shuttle picks up people at Dawson Field down there and then takes them over to see the lights at the Rotary Gardens. And they're going to be running December 5th, 8th, 12th, 15th, kind of through the month. There's a whole lot of days they're going to be open. And if you get there at 5:30 at night, they're usually open until about 10:30 at night. So good time to go down there and see those incredible lights. They've got great ones. And then, you know, another place that really has quite a good display is La Crosse. And it's pretty amazing. It's down on the river down there. And they say they have 3 million lights. So I don't know if anybody's counted them, but 3 million is a lot of lights. And it's really pretty down on the Mississippi River. It's at La Crosse Riverside Park. And they have a 140-foot Christmas tree that's decorated down there. And that's another place you can go down there. The park opens at 5 o'clock at night, and you can go there until 10 o'clock at night. The last car is admitted at 10 o'clock, and when the last car leaves, they shut it down for the evening. But it's really good. Last year they had, I think, 160,000 visitors, and really beautiful. Great place to go.
Talking to travel writer Gary Knowles, he has lots of great holiday travel ideas across Wisconsin. You can join in with your favorites at 800-642-1234. Something you like to see, something you want to put in a plug for in your own backyard. Gary, before we get into particulars some more, I know your philosophy is, you know, you don't have to fly across the world to find something cool. It might be across the state or just across town.
Yeah, that's really true. I mean, there are really big events that take place in the state, and there's a lot of really neat little ones. I mean, if you just even check in your local area, chances are good there's a little art and craft sale going on somewhere. Sometimes the greatest gifts that you're going to find are right there if you're looking to buy something for somebody. And it's really a fun place to go and pick up stuff, and usually they have bake sales and stuff like that going on. But yeah, the big ones are fun too. So no matter where you are, chances are good you can go out your door and within about 2 or 3 minutes wind up someplace pretty neat in Wisconsin.
Now, I think it was the Journal Sentinel had a big article about these old world style Christmas markets, and it turns out we have a lot of these around the state.
But we really do, and one that definitely you want to put on your radar is the one in Elkhart Lake at the Osthoff Resort, which has really been going on, I think it's like 30-some years now, and it's always got everything from Europe and Eastern Europe, and if you want to buy some Russian nesting dolls, they'll have them, and Father Christmas walks around there. You can take your picture with him.
We are talking about holiday-related things to see and do in Wisconsin with travel writer Gary Knowles, president of the Midwest Travel Journalists Association, author of the great Wisconsin touring book, 30 Spectacular Auto Tours. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Is there a must-do event, a must-see light show or activity you want to share? Call in at 800-642-1234. Or do you need some suggestions for Gary? Call 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. We'll pick up the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking about how we can celebrate the holiday season in Wisconsin with Gary Knowles, travel writer and president of the Midwest Travel Journalists Association. He's got lots of great suggestions of things to see and do in December in Wisconsin, and you can join in too at 800-642-1234. Do you have a favorite holiday-related event, a destination, a thing you like to check out in the state, maybe in your hometown? Is there a community that you think really does the holidays right? Or do you need some travel advice, something cool to do, maybe this weekend? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll go to your calls now. Nick is with us in Green Bay. Nick, hello.
Hey, I really hate Christmas, but we go to the Botanical Gardens, and that's pretty awesome. And now they got a new thing, too, at the Brown County Fairgrounds for $25. You can drive through the lights, which is pretty fun, but it's kind of expensive, but my kids like to call me Grinch, so they say he's my brother.
And at the Botanical Garden, do they have lights there too, Nick?
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's on the NWTC campus, so it's gorgeous.
Nick, thanks a lot for sharing that. The Grinch, who still saved Christmas,
I've heard that that's quite a good show up there, and well worth doing.
Nick, thanks a lot for that call. Yeah, a lot of gardens do various kind of light show. I mean, we already talked about Rotary in Janesville. Yeah. I know Olbrich and Madison had their Gleam thing going on. Green Bay, it sounds like, has. That can be a good place to look any time of year for cool stuff to do.
Yeah, you mentioned Olbrich, and I believe Olbrich currently has the model railroad
that they set up every year
out there, too. It's a big scale thing, and that's always really neat, kind of especially if it gets really cold like it's supposed to, then you might want to go over there. It's kind of tropical indoors, and that's always kind of fun.
Thanks a lot for the call, Nick. And for natural wonders around Wisconsin, people still love the Wisconsin scenery in the winter. Do you have a couple favorites you'd like to point out, Gary?
You know, one thing that I would point out is that if you get a chance to go snowmobiling up north, this year it's probably as good as it's been in 10 years.
They've had a bit of snow.
They've got a little bit up there, yeah, a couple of feet, I think. And I've got a brother-in-law who is up there, and he's a snowmobiler. It's going to be a great year for him. You know, you go out, and it's like taking a ride through a Disney ride because, I mean, the trees are marshmallow trees, and it really is a marshmallow world when you get into the backcountry. And, and some people say, oh, it scares the deer. Heck, the deer think it's pretty amusing, I think. Most of them that you see, if you see very many at all, are there just watching you go by. But it is a lot of fun to go snowmobiling at this time of the year.
Let's bring on another caller at 800-642-1234. Susie is with us in New Berlin. Susie, hi.
Hi. I have an activity with a little bit of a twist. This coming Saturday is Breakfast with Santa and a craft fair, but it's at the Indian Community School in Franklin. So it's just a little bit different than the normal Breakfast with Santa and craft fair.
That should be good. So, are you going to have fry bread?
No, actually. It's real pancakes and eggs and sausage, things like that.
Okay. Sounds great.
Susie, thanks a lot. And that's another fun thing to hunt for in communities. I think that can be easy to overlook, people having cool themed pancake breakfasts or special meals or their trivia night or whatever.
Yeah, for sure. And coming soon, I didn't have any on my list because I didn't see any, but we'll have some lefse breakfasts or lefse dinners and lutefisk, I'm sure, even though it's pretty dangerous to have to go eat that stuff, I say. That's a joke. The Norwegians say that.
Susie, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Gary, are there communities that you think really do it up special where you can go and hit kind of multiple things in the same town?
Yeah, you know, there are a number of them, including in the Fox Cities. If you get up there, I would say go over to the Bergstrom Mahler Glass Museum, which is really good. It's got an incredible glass collection any time of the year. It's well worth going to see that. But this time of the year is good. And on December 19th, here's kind of an alt-Christmas celebration. They're having a Festivus celebration up there, which if you're a Seinfeld fan, you know that Festivus is the opportunity for the rest of us, right? The people that don't celebrate Christmas get together. And they do wonderful things like have feats of strength. They do an airing of grievances where you can write your grievances and put them on the wall. And they usually have festival miracles that they announce that are Festivus miracles that are incredible, unusual sort of things that have happened. So if you want the festival, a Festivus for the rest of us, try the Bergstrom Mahler Museum December 19th. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Just a minute and a half or so left, Gary. A couple more things you might want to point us toward for our holiday travel in the state.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I want to say that in Milwaukee, for Harley-Davidson fans, I know we got a lot of motorcycle rider fans out there, they have the Happy Harley Days taking place December 7, 14, and 21. Those are Saturdays. Head on over there and go tour the whole decorated Harley-Davidson Museum. That'll be a lot of fun. And I got to say, we got to pass along the invitation from Governor Evers. He says, come on over to my house. And his house is open December 5, 7, 11, 14, and 19.
This would be the governor's mansion, not the house he lived in previously, I'm assuming.
Well, it's the one that he lives in now, okay, at least in theory. Yeah, that's right. And you can go over and see it decorated for the holidays. It's free. It's our house. It belongs to all of us in the state. And he'd be delighted to have you come on over.
And Gary, you mentioned that you haven't been everywhere. What's one you're hoping to hit this month that maybe you haven't been to yet?
I'm hoping to get back up to Eau Claire. I was up there this year, and I want to go see how they decorate and do the holidays up there. I know there's some really creative people up there, and I'm looking forward to it.
Gary, thanks so much. Always a lot of fun to talk
to you. It's always a delight. Thank you, and happy holidays.
You too. That's Gary Knowles, Madison-based travel writer, president of the Midwest Travel Journalists Association. He's the author of the great Wisconsin touring book, 30 Spectacular Auto Tours. We talked with him about some of the fun holiday-related things to see and do around Wisconsin. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Now, the number of Wisconsinites without jobs has ticked slightly up in recent months, but with the latest unemployment rate at 3.3%, it's still historically low. That's left a lot of businesses with a big problem where to find workers. A new online tool from the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation and the UW system is taking a stab at that problem. The new Talent Generator provides businesses with free resources to start internship programs in the hopes that some of those interns will eventually turn into full-time staff. Ray Cross is the president of UW System. President Cross, thanks for joining us.
Sure. My pleasure, Rob.
Well, suppose I'm a business owner and I go look at this talent generator tool. What do I see?
Well, let me start with why we're attempting to do this. We aren't attempting, Rob, why we're doing it. We were talking to a number of businesses, and we realized that the smaller or medium-sized businesses were uncomfortable or didn't have a lot of experience or didn't have the resources to set up, to establish and maintain an internship program within their company. So we developed this tool that helps companies understand what to do and how to. It's easy to use. It's online. It's a series of modules that gives them tips and best practices. It helps them set up a program to make an effective program to operate internships. So we're very pleased with that effort and the response from businesses have been very, very positive.
Yeah, what kind of help do these businesses get when they use this tool?
Well, it walks them through how to set it up, the do's and don'ts of what you need to do. It has a series of modules that explain what are smart tips and best practices to fit within a particular company's operations. It also has some testimonials from different businesses, larger typically. They've been doing this for some period of time, and what they've learned from it as well. It's those kinds of, this is what you need to do first, this is what you all need to be aware of this, that kind of stuff. That's what happens, Rob.
And you're doing this, of course, from the UW system side. What's in it for UW students having this thing in existence?
Well, it's in many ways, it's also what's in it for the state. What we know with internships is that roughly, I'm going to say something like 60 or 70% of the students taking an internship are offered a job. 50% of those actually take that job. So given the challenges the state faces in its ability, that's being exacerbated by the challenge it faces, it's being exacerbated by the demographics and the need for talent. How do we keep and develop talent here? And this is that tool. Internships really work. And that's critically important to us. We want to expand that. And nationally, I think about 50% of students get an internship someplace in the country. Here in Wisconsin, the UW system, about a little over 60% of our students actually have internships. And we want to increase that number, and this is an effort to do that.
When we think about internships in the private sector, I mean, my mind usually thinks of the big companies, the household names that a lot of people have heard of. It sounds like this tool is an effort to bring those small and medium-sized companies that might not even be on a student's radar into the intern market.
Right. That's absolutely correct, Rob. And furthermore, a lot of those companies don't have the ability, may not even have the staff to make this happen. So this is an effort to help them do that. Furthermore, for the student, a lot of students love to be engaged with these small, growing, dynamic companies. And they of course, get experiences that are broader typically in those small companies. So it's attractive to them as well.
You said there's been some positive response to this already. What kinds of businesses are you seeing step up to the plate here?
Well, I've displayed this. We rolled it out to the Business Council in November. That's typically made up of larger businesses, and they loved it. They were very complimentary of it. They even thought, well, how can several of them mention there are some ideas in here we can do to improve our internship program.
Talking to Ray Cross, president of the UW System, talking about a new intern program aimed at helping smaller and medium-sized businesses tap into the potential of interns from the UW System. Looking at those businesses, if somebody's out there listening and saying, yeah, I've got a business, I could use some interns, how do they start?
Well, the program, you can find it by simply Googling UW Talent Generator. It'll take you right to that page. When we first did this, we did a national search trying to see if there's anything out there. There isn't. So this is a first in the nation kind of effort to help companies, particularly small and medium, create internship programs. But if they go to the UW Talent Generator, it'll walk them through this process.
And we hear about efforts to keep younger people in the state, especially after they get that college education and beyond the Talent Generator. Can you talk about what the UW system does along those lines?
Yeah, we're trying to actually expand and improve career services and connect directly to businesses. And one of the things that I am worried about is that too often the university is perceived as an entity that is more transactional with businesses. That is, we'll produce the graduates, and then when we do that, you can talk to them or you can work with them. Our goal is to move that earlier in the process so students coming to the university, even as freshmen, are familiar with the opportunities that businesses offer right here in Wisconsin. So trying to expose them early on, make sure they have an internship, and through job fairs and other activities directly with businesses, get them into businesses. So it's a much more of a partnership that is collaborative, not just a transactional process.
Now, as you said, this was just sort of released last month. A year from now or so, what are your hopes? What are your hopes for this talent generator and what kind of talent it's generating?
I hope there are a number of small to medium-sized businesses that are actively pursuing internships. I think we can measure some of that. I think I hope that the internship experience is more meaningful both to the employer and to the student, as well as the UW. I think we benefit from this too because students bring back to us some of the creative ideas that are occurring in business that prompt us to alter things, and I think that's important.
Now, some people hear about universities and workforce development and worry that we're losing something, that an education should be more than workplace talent development. Do you see the UW still fulfilling those other parts of a higher educational mission?
If I didn't, I wouldn't be in this position. I think that's incredibly important. You raised a really good point, Rob. We aren't just in the workforce development position, but as I always say, there are four principal reasons one attends a university. One, of course, is it's introspective. Who am I? What am I here? What am I supposed to be doing? Help to develop that character, that person. Secondly, how do I participate in the community and how do I engage in that? What's my role there? Thirdly, how do I sustain a democracy without an educated populace? As Jefferson argued, we can't sustain the democracy. And finally, how do I participate in the economy? That's what this is about. It's much easier to do the other three if you can effectively participate in the economy.
And before we let you go, you recently announced your retirement from UW System. You were on this show, actually, I think before you even had the keys to your office after you were appointed, after you got that job. What would you focus on looking back on your 5 years as the head of the UW System?
I'm not sure what I would focus on differently. There are a number of things that I wish I would have completed or accomplished that I didn't get done when I was in this position. This is one of them. I wish we would have done this internship program much earlier. And I could share that list with you, but it would take too long to provide, Rob. There are a number of things I wish that I would have worked on that did not get completed.
Well, but some highlights. What do you come away proud of?
Well, I think that as the university has become more aware of the needs of the state, I have tried to engage the university more effectively in meeting the needs of the people, the businesses, the communities of the state. That's the Wisconsin idea. And I think that's such a noble goal and so important to the state. I think we've really done a lot more of that, and I'm pleased with that. I think positioning the university for the future demographic challenges we're facing, as you know, the demographics are not really positive. They level off for 4 or 5 years in 2026. They drop off a cliff again, and high school graduate numbers drop precipitously then. Getting prepared for that and having been prepared for that is important, and that means restructuring, doing some reorganization, finding ways to be more efficient through shared services and the like without affecting the quality or the impact on the students we serve. That's critically important. Those are just a couple of things.
It's a good place to leave it. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Okay. Thank you, Rob. Take care. Have a good day.
That's Ray Cross, president of the UW System. He was with us today to talk about a new free online tool aimed at helping businesses start internships. If you want to check out that tool for yourself, you can find a link to it on our website, wpr.org/centraltime.